Last Sunday morning, I asked our brother to read Psalm 23 for our scripture reading. And hearing him read it caused me to think it has been too long since we have looked at Psalm 23. So here we are. Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. These three psalms are referred to as the Psalm of the Cross, the Comfort, and the Crown. Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the Crown. It says, Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." It's all his. Verse 7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." I see this as after our Lord accomplished his work and ascended back to glory, a cloud received him out of the sight, out of their sight. And it says in the scripture, the cloud carried him back into glory. I didn't write down where that is. I believe it's in Isaiah. And all of heaven sees him coming back in victory. Verse 8, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle." Where was that battle? The cross of Calvary. Verse 9, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's the crown. That's the psalm of the crown, the King. Look at Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's the psalm of comfort. That whole psalm, psalm of comfort. But a man made the statement one time. He said, "It is only after we have read and understood, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. It is only after we have read and understood the Psalm of the Cross that we can enter into the comfort and the crown. The only way we can truly understand what it means to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," is if we understand the purchase that the shepherd had to make for his sheep. If we have to understand, he did it all for me, what it all is. The purchase that the shepherd had to make for us to be called his sheep. We could not just be called his sheep. Had the shepherd not made the way for us to be called his sheep. And that's what Psalm 22 tells us. Psalm 22, verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Who is saying that? That's Jesus Christ. And think about what he's saying. I've looked up the word forsaken. Why hast thou forsaken me? He's saying, why have you left me? You know, because of all this, it's not until we understand this that we can understand and enjoy the fact that he said, "I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." He cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me? You left me. Why have you abandoned me? Why have you turned your back on me?" He went on to say, "Why art thou so far from helping me? Why will you not help me? Why have you closed your ears to me?" Verse 1, he said, "Why are you so far from the words of my roaring?" Verse 2, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. I keep crying and crying and crying." What a holy thought that is. What an awesome and holy thought that is. Verse 7, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head." That's exactly what happened to our Lord as he hung there on the cross. Verse 11, he said, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." There is none to help. I am by myself in this. That's what he's saying. I am by myself. Verse 14, he said, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Why? 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 Turn with me to John 10. John 10, this is the reason why. Verse 14 says, our Lord said, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." You ever get tired of reading John 10? I think we've gone to John 10 every message for the last month. I don't ever get tired of going to John 10. "I lay down my life for the sheep." Why did he go through all that? He said, "Because I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to die for my sheep." How did this good shepherd, he said, "I'm the good shepherd." How did the good shepherd lay down his life for his sheep? How did he do that? Look with me at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him," this Ethiopian eunuch, "and heard him read the prophet Isaiah," chapter 53 to be exact. "And he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this." He. Who? The shepherd. And this is amazing. The shepherd. "He was led as a sheep. The shepherd took the place of the sheep." How did this good shepherd die for his sheep? He took the place of his sheep. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter." Why the slaughter? Sin. disease, death, rot, decay, ruin. That's all that the sheep were. Therefore, that's all they were good for, the slaughter. And that's exactly where all of them would have ended up had the shepherd not taken their place. Because of the shepherd's great love for them. Verse 32 says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Every charge, every railing accusation, everything his sheep were accused of for their sin and their disease and their death and their disobedience and their rebellion against God, everything they were accused of, for his great love, the great shepherd took the place of his sheep, took the condition of his sheep. Why hast thou forsaken me? He was in the condition of his sheep. He took the blame of his sheep. He took the guilt of his sheep. And he bore it all for his sheep. Verse 32 says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Not one time did he ever say, I didn't do it. My sheep did it. Not one time. Not one time. Does that make you love him more? Not one time. He was accused for the sin of his sheep. He was convicted for the sin of his sheep. He was stripped and mocked and beaten and crucified and killed for the sin of his sheep. And not one time did he ever open his mouth to defend himself. Not one time. He took it all. He bore it all. He suffered it all for his sheep. Verse 32 says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. That's why he was forsaken. And that's why we now can say this. That's why we can say this. Go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, he is my shepherd. You talk about something to brag about, something to brag on. Where is boasting then? Right there. It's right there. The one who is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, he's my shepherd. The one who made the worlds, the heavens, the earth, he's my shepherd. The one who created everything, visible and invisible. The one who controls and reigns over every throne, every dominion, every principality, every power, the one who is before all things and by him all things consist, the one who everything is to him and for him, the Lord, Jehovah, God Almighty, He's our shepherd. If that does not make our hearts rejoice, nothing will. He's our shepherd. He is the one who is our shepherd. He is the one who is our shepherd. You know what that tells me? Honestly, you know what that tells me? We shall not want. We shall not want. That's comfort. That's where the comfort comes from. The fact that it's the Lord who is our shepherd. He is Lord because of who He is. He is Lord because of who He is. He is God manifest in the flesh. God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He said, "You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am." He is Lord because of what He's done. He died, rose, and revived that He might be Lord. Lord and Christ. The one who was crucified, God made Him to be Lord and Christ. He is Lord because of where He is now. He's Lord because of who He is. He's Lord because of what He's done. He's Lord because of where He is right now. Because of His humiliation and His obedience unto death, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who our shepherd is. Therefore, that's where our comfort comes from. The Lord, is my shepherd. Aren't you so glad the Word of God does not say the Lord might be our shepherd? Aren't you so glad the Word of God doesn't say, as long as I meet certain criteria, the Lord will be my shepherd? The Lord is. God-given faith has caused us to say the Lord is. He is my shepherd. Not just our shepherd. Not just the sheep's shepherd. My shepherd. He's mine. How do you know? It's because He said He's the shepherd of sinners. And that's what I am. That's how I know He is my shepherd. That's exactly what I am. According to God's own word, God's own promise, and His own word, He is mine because the Father gave me to Him before the foundation of the world. How do you know He's mine? How do you know He's yours? According to His promise, the Father gave me to Him before the foundation of the world. Every child of God can say this personally, individually. He's mine because He bought me with His own precious blood. He's mine because He loved me and gave Himself to me. He gave Himself for me. He gave Himself to me. The comfort of our hearts is He's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I want a shepherd. You want a shepherd. We want to be sheep of the shepherd, don't we? I think about sheep in a sheepfold, and I think, man, they have the good life. If they're in a fat pasture, that's what I want. I want to be a sheep. Each one of us can say, He is my shepherd because He leads me. He feeds me. He shelters me. He protects me. That's what I want. He loves me. He loves me. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. What's a propitiation? Psalm 22. A bloody victim sacrifice for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. He's our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Aren't you so glad to know that? He is the good shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the only shepherd. Every child of God can say, that's who my shepherd is, and that's where my comfort comes from. That's where my comfort comes from. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the good, great, chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Lord, because He is my shepherd, I am not going to lack anything. I'm not going to lack anything. I may be the weakest sheep in the fold. I may be the weakest one in the fold. I may be the dumbest one in the fold. I may be the most wandering one in the fold. I may be the sickest one in the fold. I may be the saddest one in the fold. But as long as I'm in His fold, I will not lack one thing. I will not lack one thing. Verse 2 says, He will make me to lie down in green pastures just like all of His other sheep. He will lead me beside still waters just like all of His other sheep. Verse 3 says, He will restore my soul just like He does for all of His other sheep. He will lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Just like He leads all of His other sheep in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That line that in that verse there has become very dear to me. It's become a true joy to me. I never truly understood or entered into the meaning of that statement until I attended the funeral of our dear, kind brother Bill Grisham, Karen's dad, 2 years ago. Four? Three? Time flies. So I'm 47. I never really understood this line until I was 44 years old. And I'm sure the Lord will reveal more as time goes along. After his funeral, there was a large turnout in Crossville, Tennessee. And there was a long procession from the funeral home to the gravesite. And I was probably a 20-minute drive at least. It was a good while. And I was the second to the last car in line. Brother Tony was behind me. We had our families with us. And it was so long. We got started out, it was so long, I couldn't see the front. And as we were going, we came up on the first red light, and it was turning red, and you know, cars were in front of me, and I thought I was going to have to be the one to make a decision. Do I stop at this red light or keep going? Because I was used to, in Rocky Mount, they always stationed police officers at every red light, stopping everybody, saying that, you know, you come through. And I was used to them just telling me what to do. And there was nobody there to tell me what to do. And I didn't know what to do. And thankfully, the car or two in front of me ran the red light. So did I. But I didn't like that moment. That didn't feel good. I thought, I'm breaking the rules here. I'm not supposed to be doing this. But we did it. And there were quite a few red lights after that. And I mean, just many of them. We just kept going under red light. And so every time I went under a red light, I was thinking, this is sin. That's what I'm doing. This is sin. But as people do, you know, they saw the procession and they stopped and let us all go through. And I'm telling you, some of us talked about this. Even Donnie brought it up. That had to have been the most moving procession I have ever been a part of. There were so many people along the streets where we were going. It was lined with people, and they were all paying attention to this procession. And it was so moving to me how people were so honorable, and they were so... There were some cars parked in a parking lot, and as we were going by, people got out of their cars and stood there with their hands over their heart. One man saluted while the whole thing went by. He stood there and saluted the whole thing, and I was just so... You would have thought the president was coming through. I was so just moved by this. But by the time we got to the gravesite, this whole scene, this whole illustration came into my mind. In this procession, the first car in line was a police car. The law. The law led the way. The second car in line was our beloved. And it's like when Boaz told Ruth, I'm going to redeem you, but there's a nearer kinsman that must be satisfied first. The law. The law has to be satisfied first. The law has to approve this first. But that second car was our beloved, the one in whose honor every one of us was there for. We were all there in honor of him. Every car after the beloved, we were all followers of the beloved. Wherever he went, that's where we were going. I didn't know where we were going. I was traveling on faith. I had no idea where the gravesite was. And wherever he went, that's where we went. Every turn he made, every light he went under, we followed him under it. And according to the law, and this is what struck me, according to the law, the whole way was righteousness. The whole way was righteousness. I'd come up to that red light thinking, sin, sin, and the law would, who was leading my way, the law would say, nope, follow on. There's no sin here. There's no sin here. In this path is no sin. I didn't break the law, but I went under a red light. According to the law, I didn't break the law. In this path is no sin. The law said that. Every onlooker said that. No sin. Go ahead. You go ahead. After you. You're free to go. But what about that red light? Free to go. It hit me that there was one reason only why this was the case. Only one reason why this could be said to us. Our beloved. He was the only reason. That whole path, that whole journey, that whole procession was for his name's sake. It was all for his name's sake. And therefore the whole path was righteousness. After the burial, I thought about this. After the burial, had I gone back to the funeral home and taken that same path again and run those same red lights again, that same law that was leading the way would have cuffed me and stuffed me in jail. Had I done that without him, had I taken that path without him, I would have ended up in jail. But with him, with the beloved, it was all righteousness. As long as we are with our shepherd, every path he leads us down is righteousness. In him is no sin. Righteousness is not just what he does. Righteousness is what he is. It's righteousness because he does it. He's the lawgiver. He's the lawmaker. And in him, with him, following him, every path he takes us down is righteousness. That's just amazing to me. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, the rod and the staff of your word, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." No matter what our situation in life is, all of God's sheep can say that. All of God's sheep can say, "You have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You've provided for me. You've anointed my head with oil. You've anointed me with blessing. My cup runs over. My cup runs over." Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." The Lord my shepherd. I will dwell in his house with him forever. Forever. What a psalm of comfort. From the cross to the crown. That's our comfort. Amen.